What dark deeds unfold on the streets of Arkham? And which unwitting souls, innocent or impure, will succumb to the maddening call? The Call of Cthulhu.
Experience the unknowable horror and black comedy of Nerdy Show's Call of Cthulhu Mystery Program, an RPG audio drama. Find it at CthulhuMystery.com or wherever you procure fine podcasts.
The following program, Flame On, is presented by the Nerdy Show Network, geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by a comic shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other fine geek programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
Welcome to Flame On. I'm Brian, and I'm here with a full cast of our regulars. Let's go clockwise. We got BJ here.
Hey, what's up?
Jeff.
Hi, guys.
Oral.
Winds of destiny. Change.
Blowing particles of people away.
Oh,
Eric.
Too soon. That was a lot.
Yeah. And then Pat.
For Maya Angelou is no punk bitch.
And I am Brian, and we are going to talk today about Infinity War, or I should say Avengers colon Infinity War. Is that right?
I don't know if there's a colon in there. We're talking about the Avengers colon.
Either an underline, maybe an underline.
Italics, at least.
I don't think Vision has a colon.
Subtitle.
So yes, we're talking about the latest Marvel movie, celebrating 10 years of Marvel Cinematic Universe, culminating from the very beginning in this spectacle, I would say, at least we can call it a spectacle of cinematic delight. That might be going too far. Which we all have seen at least once, maybe twice.
I've
seen it twice.
Oral?
I can only see it once until the second movie comes out.
Really?
You do a rewatch right before?
We'll talk about it.
Oh, wow. Okay. I'm interested in this now.
Huh.
So we will just put it out there. We're going to spoil some stuff. We may already have. So just if you want to come back after you've seen the movie, or you don't care, then you're good. But we'll be talking about plot points and obviously what we thought. So
there's a lot to unpack with this movie.
Are
we going to use Kansas's Dust in the Wind as our theme song for this episode?
We can't be
too soon. Too soon.
So we used to get kicked off SoundCloud when we would do that. So I don't know if we can still do that. But anyway, so let's just start with a high level what this is. I'm not going to go through plot points and all the actors we'll mention as we talk about what we liked and we didn't like. But obviously, like we said, this culminates 10 years of Marvel Cinematic, starting from the very beginning with Iron Man, putting the team together with Tony Stark, of course, and Nick Fury, leading into the Avengers, leading into Civil War, leading into Guardians of the Galaxy, leading into Civil War. What am I missing? Doctor Strange, like all of the shit.
Age of Ultron.
Right. Oh, yeah. Thank you.
So, Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah. Of course. Spider-Man.
Let's not forget about Ant-Man.
Well, I think the movie did.
Let's talk about the most seminal work that Marvel has done, Black Panther.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. So all of this culminates in this movie where we see the pieces, and specifically the Infinity Stones, not gems. They're stones now. Coming together on Thanos' glove to wreak havoc across the MCU. Has everybody and their brother in it, and cousins and sisters and wives and everybody but Hawkeye and Ant-Man for some reason. Who else was missing?
Oh, Valkyrie.
Valkyrie, yes. That's unfortunate. Although, we did read one of the Russo brothers said, oh, no, she's fine.
Yeah.
So
really? Because she would have been on the ship, I feel.
Well, there's a key moment where Thor is like, you killed half of my people. So they evidently had some escape thing go on. So.
So going through the list of people who were going to be in this movie, seeing the posters, it felt like the Pee Wee Herman like holiday special where it just kept like he kept naming off lists of people just like Chris Hemsworth, Chris Pine, you know, T'Challa, Scott, like Wanda. We also have all of the Von Dooms. Like...
It was a lot, and I'm really so I've talked to one person who saw this and had only ever seen one other Marvel movie.
Which movie was
Black
it?
Panther?
Okay,
late starter. Okay,
yeah. Well, and so her husband is a big Doctor Who, Marvel cinematic fan. Anyway, so she was kind of like, she's like, I kept expecting My Little Pony to show up. Like, she did not know where the MCU ended and other properties began, which was kind of a funny perspective. But let's we'll talk all about that. We'll talk about what we like, what we didn't like. Let's start with what we liked, and I will defer to the end, pick up whatever pieces are left. Let's just keep going clockwise. BJ, what'd you think?
I mean, this was a monster of a film. This was a beast to be able to put this thing together and not have it.
Honey, that's Fox. Beast is Fox. I'm sorry.
Trademark.
Give it time. That'll be, that's Disney.
I was
going
to say,
like,
in 2019, the deal is, if they don't find anything wrong with it, the deal's supposed to go through in the summer of 2019. I was impressed. I was actually impressed with, they treated the audience like they already knew the characters.
As they should, because you've had a decade to get it together, girl.
Exactly.
But yet the New York Times likes to write that they felt like they couldn't just, like, no characters got introduced or didn't understand why people were there that were.
Is it so hard to squeeze in an origin story? Yes. At this point in a 2.5 hour film, yes.
Do you imagine how many origins? It's like when, what was that terrible DC Suicide Squad movie when they had to do the origins
twice?
Actually, you know what? I take that back. They did squeeze in an origin story. Who? Gamora. There's your origin story.
Actually, yeah. They squeezed in a little bit of that, which related to Thanos. So I would say my number one thing I liked is that they spent, I would have been happier with a, like, maybe one more flashback, but they actually spent some time developing Thanos, which is something that they've learned to do. It took them a while, but, like, you know, they spent time developing Killmonger. They spent time developing the Vulture in Spider-Man Homecoming, and they realized, oh, if we invest in the villain, people are more apt to pay attention. So
Do you think it's investing or just giving them motivations that are more believable in a, like, real-world context?
Are you basically saying that the motivation of I love death, let me impress death, wasn't going to fly in a Marvel film?
I'm just asking this general question because I don't know that they gave you a lot of Thanos backstory as much as just, hey, here's what he's doing, and there's actually a reason for it besides I love death.
Yeah, I think it's the fact that they showed emotional depth. Like, usually with hokey villains, you get, haha, I'm going to do this because I'm bad. With him, he legitimately thinks he's doing a service to the universe. Like, I'm helping you. Even though it's shitty, I'm helping you and I'm going to do this thing.
All I can think of is, I'm helping!
Well, it
was a little strange because it seems like the movie didn't know whether they wanted to make Thanos the antagonist or the protagonist in a way.
And that's why I wanted just a little bit more backstory.
No, he needs ambiguity. The way I see it is, he presents this idea that everything is finite and no one is thinking maybe we should kind of, like, scale back our resources, not necessarily population control, but there comes a point where you have so many mouths to feed, so many, like, booming empires that are just consuming, you will have nothing left. Eventually everything dies, but if you scale back, that gets kicked down the road so far, it becomes pretty much a moot point.
When he even says, too, with Gamora's planet about, like, the justification, like, if you go back to that home world where I killed half the population, it's a paradise now. There's no child that ever goes hungry, kind of going, see, told you so. It's like, well, okay, so fair enough. Your plan worked on this planet. Doesn't mean that that's the answer to the entire universe.
Yeah.
So, Jeff, what did you think of the movie?
In terms of the like stuff?
Yeah, what'd you like?
I like the performances. Every time that both the Sherlocks were on screen together, I squeed a little bit. Because it was just like, it was Tony Stark versus Tony Stark. It was two smart douchebags who really are assholes at heart, who only work for themselves, who are very, you know, protective and very heroic, but they still recognize each other as what they are. And he's like, I love the comic. He's like, I don't work for you, douchebag.
Do you remember, Oral, in that comic? I think, Pat, you probably read this too, where they look at each other and they're like, cool mustache, or we're in the cool mustache club,
like the goatee.
Yes.
High five.
I love that.
High five. Goatee club.
I kind of wish they had worked that in. And I, anyway, sorry.
So the main cast got a lot of good moments. I love the spot with Thor getting the Stormbreaker and showing up in Wakanda. Like, big character moments like that, because obviously, like, I like the fact that they could bring all these different disparate elements of the stories that they've put together over however many years into this one film and make it work. But I like the big moments. I thought those were really impactful the way they were done. I like that we got a good grasp, at least, on what the Infinity Stones mean. And especially the Soul Stone, which was kind of like a big question mark up till now. Which, even after the movie ended, I guess it's still a lot of vagary and a lot of, like...
That's the Soul Stone, period.
Yeah.
The amorphous.
Kind of well-defined.
It's got a whole fucking world in it. People can hang out and retire, come back out at retirement.
Yeah, it's like, I'm a better person now, thanks to the Soul Stone.
Bing! Yeah. There are things that I didn't like as much, but I'll save
that. We'll get to that.
Yeah.
Get to that. Or what do you think?
I love a movie that, for the most part, is very self-contained. This movie was very self-contained. The lead-in was the exit for the last movie. And I think they were banking on everyone who really was invested in the Marvel franchise to see Ragnarok, because it was the final movie leading us to this, you know, battle royale.
Yep.
I love the breaking up of the teams to give you smaller looks. The Guardian stuff, I've kind of felt disillusioned. Not that it's bad. It's just not. It's not what I want out of Cosmic Marvel, but that's fine.
And it's hard to hit that joke after the first one. Like, Volume 2 proved you can't just go back to the well and do the same thing over and expect it to work as much.
Exactly. But yeah. I didn't find it grating. I love seeing Doctor Strange integrated into the wider Marvel universe. It all kind of worked for me. I'd like to say shout out to Wakanda being the only thing that can withstand an alien invasion by itself, because New York fell like some Jenga, like blocks. Wakanda put up the defense. They actually stood their ground. And if it wasn't for like straight up kamikaze mission, like grunts, they would have been okay.
Yeah.
All in all, I think it's the best they could have done with the amount of building that they did. I don't really find fault with how they structured the movie. Any faults I have come not as a fanboy, but just out of when it's third act problems. And that's not to say, you know, like, you know, I'm a like, oh, you know, I have issues with the third act and the climax. It's smart. It should cinema should kind of challenge your expectations. And I think this movie did that very well, but it also fell into some of like my biggest pet peeves because I'm steeped in comic books 24/7.
Of course.
Yeah.
Eric?
I think the visuals, the performances, and the pacing were all really well done. I feel like it didn't... Each group of people was given enough screen time. It felt like you weren't sitting there too long saying, I want to go back and find out what these people are doing.
Yeah, the timing on it was really good, because right when you're at that point, they jump.
Yeah. So, everything else has already been said, pretty much.
Yeah, true. Pat?
I enjoyed the fact that there was a lot of nods to the Infinity Gauntlet comic itself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The fact that you know that you're not going to get an Infinity Gauntlet movie from the books straight to the screen. The fact that they were able to do quite a few source material references really kind of made it work for me.
Yeah, I mean, the adaptations they had to make, they didn't have Silver Surfer, so they had the Hulk as that kind of... Harold, yeah, kind of falling and warning.
The Forerunner.
Yep. Thank you.
The Paul Revere.
Yes, yeah, the Paul Revere, go. Yep. giving those moments like Thanos standing there sort of looking out from retirement. That was a really cool little
Armor Scarecrow.
Oh, I missed the Armor Scarecrow.
It took the second watching for me to catch it, but yeah, it's there.
I didn't catch that.
So this real side real quick. So, you know, in the credits, you see, everybody stays for the credits, right? So you watch because you're going to see the end of the credit scenes. They had a nod or a reference to Arrested Development.
Yeah.
A credit. Yep. And I'm sitting there like, what Arrested Development nod did you make? And I hadn't read anything. This was like right after it opened. And I go back and I think I read up or someone said something. And I was like, oh, my God.
They have a picture up now.
Well, they have a picture. So if you go look for it. But if you watch it again, you can spot it. We did. And it's what's the character's name? I can never remember the blue guy.
Which Bluth it is.
Yeah, it's one of the Bluths. But
it's Portia de Rossi's husband.
David Cross's character. And he's in his blue, you know, whatever. He blew himself. And he's in one of the collector's cages.
Yep.
And I was like, wow. But anyway, you can catch it if you go back. So what I liked overall, everything's been said. I think the best thing about Marvel, and this movie is no exception, is the tonal balance. And I mean that in the sense that the movies are serious and epic, but with enough humor mixed in to really find a nice sweet spot of enjoyment.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
However,
absolutely.
One of the things that I will say, and I'll just start off and we'll just go to what we didn't like from this, is I feel like that formula in its very essence makes these movies incredibly perishable. I can't tell you any of the Marvel movies that I actually like to go back and rewatch because I just feel like the experience is lacking. And we saw it for the second time today, and I fell asleep, which I never do in a movie. I never fall asleep. I mean, if I'm sitting here on my couch and I'm watching Blade Runner, that's different, right? But like in a movie theater, I do not fall asleep in a movie, and I fell asleep for not long, but enough. And I just was not as engaged. And I feel like maybe it's just me, but I do know other people who have said this. These movies are great when you experience them that first time. And from then on out, it is just not the same experience.
See, I won't say that's a blanket statement, though, amongst all of them. Because like Thor Ragnarok is different enough and weird enough. I've watched that 4 times.
Oh, yeah. I've seen that like 5 or 6 times.
I was actually thinking about Ragnarok as one of the exceptions because it is different.
Right.
It still gets that tone, the tonal balance, but there is something different about it that makes it a little more... Yeah, I want to see that again.
There's probably 2 or 3 that have really good rewatchability. I get what you're saying.
Some of them are just convenience. Like the ones on Netflix, like Doctor Strange, Civil War, while they're not sit down and analyze and like really focus on, they're good like Saturday afternoon action movies to kind of have in the background while you're doing something.
See, that's what that. So I make an exception here between wallpaper and something I want to experience again.
Mm-hmm.
So I really think the
Captain Americas are probably the most successful at that. Those are really the 3 movies that I could sit down and just watch again.
Yeah, I could watch Winter Soldier and Civil War.
And the first Avengers.
It's
so
it
kind of silly and hokey in certain spots that it does work too. So again, I'm not saying it's a blanket rule, but I feel like Marvel has got... Kevin Feige and all of his team, they have this formula that really works well. I mean, they're making fucking billions at this point, right? So they're doing it right. But I do wonder if the shelf life is really what you would want from a piece of art.
I think Black Panther, I saw that movie twice in the theater. I think that will be in the Thor Ragnarok side of it. Yeah. But like you said, there have been so many sequels. Iron Man 2 was like one of the first ones that I bought on Blu-ray. I've watched it since when I bought it, I have not put it back in.
That's one of the exceptions too. Pat had it. You had a good point in the car about this idea of because the movies feed one into the next.
Oh yeah, it's the fact that you don't have to worry about waiting 3 or more years for another movie. These movies are coming out multiple times a year, and they feed for the most part into each other. Or if they don't feed into each other, you are getting another dose of Marvel moviness. And like right now, we don't have to wait more than 2 months before the next movie comes out.
1 month. I think Ant-Man's in June.
That's July.
I think it's my birthday.
Is it July?
It's my birthday.
Oh.
So it's, I mean, you get just a couple of months time in between movies. And then after that, we only have to wait until March for Captain Marvel before Infinity War Part 2 comes out. So
Electric Boogaloo?
You have to, you end up getting these movies that come out so quickly, you don't necessarily have to worry about people sitting down and watching this movie multiple times in like years in between movies.
Like a Star Wars back in the day.
Back in the day with Star Wars, and you would have, okay, it's going to be this number of years, or it's going to be a while. You don't know when the next movie is going to come out. Plus, we're in an age where so much is known so quickly, and it's all on the internet, and yeah, trailers, and you've got stuff from the set, and you've got all this stuff that's going on. You don't have to worry about a fan base that's going to really have to dig into it. If they enjoy it, they'll dig into it multiple times. But you don't have to rely on that to sustain your fan base until the next movie comes out years from now.
And I feel like Marvel's kind of learned this. Its neat little trick is, and a couple movies have done it. I think Scott Pilgrim did it for their trailer. But I've noticed that since Thor Ragnarok, the Marvel movie trailers either have edited something out story-wise, or they're putting like the deleted footage up in the trailer.
So case in point, right? Infinity War has Hulk as Hulk running. You've all seen
it's
this.
It's more so than that. Like Funko, I think, is releasing some. There's a whole set of figures and action figures and things coming out from the film that are Hulk busting out of the Hulkbuster armor that didn't happen.
Yeah.
But the action figures were all still made and they're still being sold.
So it's like this is an intentional misdirection, or like you're saying, maybe they changed direction.
And not
more.
and like with Thor's eye.
In Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah, in Thor Ragnarok, he had both of his eyes in the scenes from around the climax of the movie. He still had one of his eyes in the trailer. And even in the Infinity War trailer, he didn't have the eye patch when he turns to look at them.
But even throughout the Infinity War trailer, they show Thanos, and the most I think they ever show him in the trailer is like with two stones. Even in certain scenes that you go back and watch, he had like four or five at that point.
Yeah.
They CG downplay big elements of the story.
And
I like that, actually.
I like that a lot. So
it keeps you guessing.
Well, yeah.
So what else, BJ, what else did you not like about
it? So this is going to sound weird. I actually don't like the fact they didn't do a Secret Avengers movie.
What?
I actually kind of agree.
I really wanted either another Captain America movie with him and his team.
Yes.
Running around.
Fighting the Secret Empire.
Yeah. Or doing.
Staying in hostels.
Staying in hotels like, that weren't five stars.
Traveling. And then you've got Vision and Wanda like sneaking off every couple of weeks for their little
trip. That shit would have been boring.
That would have been a little bit.
Rendezvous happiness when I think of you. And when we get together, we rendezvous. I'm sorry.
Imagine Vision's vibranium kind of unit that he must have.
Oh, wait a minute.
I mean, it's all vibranium. He was made of vibranium.
Oh,
man.
Wow. So, no, I totally agree with BJ. When I saw them come out of the shadows and they had that kind of look in there, I'm like, I want a Secret Avengers. I love that. When Warren Ellis did that Secret Avengers, I just like that Black Ops. We'll get to.
See, you know what? That will dovetail into me ripping this movie apart.
Oh, here we go. Well, let's get to that.
But just because there's little nuances when you have like the fight scene where you had Captain America, Black Widow, and Falcon kind of coordinate attack Proxima Midnight and I think Corvius Glaive, where they just kind of do this kind of group combo attack, and all of a sudden he's on the ground, and I'm like, wait, the fuck? Did they I need a training montage with the three of them. I would have really liked to have seen that. I would have really liked to have seen Cap's like kind of journey to Infinity War from Civil War, where he's kind of he's different. He's very like
world weary.
He's nomad. Yes. He's nomad.
He's nomad. Yeah,
yeah, he's essentially nomad. So I would have really liked that, because I feel like that would have fleshed out the characters without having to do anything in the actual movie.
Jeff,
let's see. The biggest thing I didn't like, which is such a petty gripe, I fucking hated his armor when it was on him.
Who?
So Thanos.
Oh, yeah.
I hated the translation from the book to the, and I from the day, from the first day I ever saw the armor on him, I couldn't stand it.
It didn't look right.
Which
is probably why they kept him out of it most of the time.
Yeah. Yeah, and then it was like Farmer Thanos for the rest of the film.
Purple Daddy.
Things I didn't like were like things kind of like your Secret Avengers comment, where it felt like missed opportunities. Or, like they didn't show the fall of Xandar whatsoever. It was just like, hey, I got the Power Stone already. Xandar's gone.
Yeah.
Or but half the population
that could have
is
been,
dead.
That could have been the post-credit scene for the Secret Avengers movie. Right
but
there.
I really think that they may use the fall of Xandar as...
Well, the Richard Rider, the Nova film,
yeah,
maybe?
Yeah, the Nova film. That may that. Or may not
wow.
get
me. Okay. Okay, so yeah, missed opportunity. Let's see. The other pieces were kind of... I didn't entirely buy Thanos' arc in the film. I didn't buy his emotional his pathos, like when Mantis has the him.
Is that his other brother besides Ethos?
Eros. Eros and Pathos.
I
almost
had a joke. But everybody knows.
I tried.
Almost
I tried.
Doesn't count.
Why are you going for me? Sorry, I'm being the next one. All right, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, things like that were like, where like he was lamenting how he had to kill Gamora and all that. Like, I didn't buy it. And also the plot convenience of, oh, well, the one thing that you have to sacrifice is the thing you love. Hey, conveniently enough, I brought her along. Thank God that worked out.
Thank God I didn't bring Nebula.
That's right. Would have been a waste of parts.
Can you imagine a Thanos Nebula little short, and it's just this awful, passive-aggressive, terrible relationship dynamic between... I mean, it's basically like Infinity Gauntlet, right? Because he's trotting her out as a zombie body, and he's just... Oh, I want
to
see that.
Well, that's the thing, like, because Ebony Maw refers to him as, you know, everybody's like, oh, you're all children of Thanos. Like, so, really, every implication of an actual child of Thanos in the Marvel comic cinematic universe is kind of liquid. It's, hey, I killed off your planet and I took you, so you're a child of mine now, not an actual relation. Because that was always the thing with Nebula, like, oh, it's implied that she's actually his granddaughter. At least in the 90s book, but they never could confirm. Meanwhile, like, when Thane finally came out, like, yes, here is a child of Thanos.
He kind
of
looks like him.
Legitimate child of Thanos.
Yeah.
Everybody else was like, he just works for them. We just refer to him. He's like, he likes to be called Daddy.
Well, he took Gamora and trained her. That's why she's his daughter.
Well, I get that.
Nebula was not his granddaughter. They ended up confirming that, because that was the whole thing in Infinity Gauntlet. But when we dealt with Thane, you got the story where he went and killed all of his children.
Oh, that's
he
right.
He had many children.
That's right. Yeah.
He
right.
went and killed every single one of them. Thane was hidden.
Cinematic universe.
No. I know, but that's what I'm saying. Like it, but it's the same thing in this. It's that you have this person that, or these two girls that were raised by him. I don't enjoy the Cull Obsidian is the children of Thanos in this, and then they. Ebony Maw makes that comment, it just doesn't work, but you have two people that are raised by him, so I don't love the Gamora, oh, I love her. No, Thanos didn't do that. Like, that wasn't his thing, but it was awkward for that. Although I like that the agent Thanos says, hurl your daughter off a cliff.
It's like Abraham gone wrong.
Well, it's Abraham, only God's like, no, go ahead.
No, you're good.
Do you think?
Good, dude.
Do you think? Worship me, I'll give you a stone.
You want this rock?
You want this rock.
You like this rock? Oral, I can't wait to hear what you have that you did not like.
It never fails. I should preface this with a week and a half before this movie came out, about 2 weeks, I unlocked a goal of mine. I now own a Sideshow collectible. It is classic Scarlet Witch in her pose, and it is gorgeous. Her hair, yes, her hair is windswept. Her hands are in the, like, the Bakdo, like, hand motions. Yeah. She's plexing. And she is my favorite. The problem is that when you make powerful characters that don't just smash things or, like, shoot, like, laser beams out of their hands, it becomes very difficult for you to write them. And so the version of Scarlet Witch we get doesn't resemble any Scarlet Witch I've ever seen in comic books, one. And two, she is pretty much Jean Grey, I'll take, but it's very frustrating to me because There's a difference between an adaptation and a complete reworking of a character.
Yeah.
And they completely reworked her character because magic hadn't really been introduced. And if you look at what she does, it's nowhere near what Doctor Strange does. Like, they barely look like hex bolts. But that's me nitpicking.
Well, and it's also the sin of Age of Ultron, where they just did the simplified comment of, he's fast, she's weird.
Yeah.
That was it.
So, what really just infuriates me, and this isn't even like the Nova stuff that I've said on multiple podcasts, like, listeners, you're dedicated. You can go back and hear why I'm mad about the Nova Corps and why I don't think that my Richard Rider movie is ever coming.
I agree.
To make her such a dynamic character, like a powerhouse, the one that you kind of overlooked, even in, like, you know, when you think about Age of Ultron and everything that she did in that movie, you kind of forget it because you don't get that much in Civil War. So seeing her brought to prominence really made me excited. And then they did what they always fucking do, what lazy writers do across the board. They write her off the board. They took her out of play. And it infuriates me because, you know, Scarlet Witch fans get so little. It's why I'm really, like, angry about Spider-Man fans, where they bitch and they moan about every sort of plot point. Like, they don't have anything they could ever want. Toasters, underwear, cell phone cases.
Six movies?
Yeah.
Movies.
Scarlet Witch literally held Thanos at bay with 5 out of the 6 stones while she's destroying another stone and also destroying the love of her life. Previously, she held off 2 of the Black Order single-handedly, for the most part, until she had reinforcements. Yeah. And she helped turn the tide of the war. And what do? They evaporate her just like that. And I was livid. Because what it shows me is that no matter how bombastic you can get in your storytelling, no matter how different any movie can feel, because Avengers did, for me, feel really different from everything else, mainly because it was a culmination of everything we had watched for a decade. It shows me they can't think outside the box when you need them to. Because what? Thor literally generates lightning bolts, can, you know, traverse time and space. Can, you know...
He had his own, like, Bifrost magic there going on.
Well, because they said the Stormbreaker.
Yeah, the Stormbreaker
can summon
weapon.
The Bifrost.
Let's call Stormbreaker what it is. It's Mjolnir from the Ultimate Universe.
Yeah, yeah, it absolutely. Is. Yeah, no, which means it's an actual fake, and it's...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you have all these different characters who do amazing things, and the one character, like a female character, that shows you, oh, I'm not just here for somebody to love. I can literally, like, throw down with the heavy hitters. Don't know what to do with you. Bye, girl, bye. And I can't win. And I, as much as I love that movie up until that point, seeing Doctor Strange, you know, go full on, like, balls to the wall.
Oh,
not,
yeah.
Like, cheating to win. But not that he cheated to win in his movie. But using his skills to be the Sorcerer Supreme. Seeing, like, Tony's armor, which is like an infamous Iron Man sort of take. Tony's armor was literally unstoppable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You could rip away at it, and if you gave it enough time, it repair itself.
It was the Extremis.
Brand fucking new.
Yep.
Did you have any power level issues? No. Scarlet Witch, she had 2 sticks. She was fucking Nightwing. She was fucking Nightwing. Hitting people with billy clubs.
I mean, Black Widow?
Yeah.
Scarlet Witch.
I'm sorry. I'm just so mad.
Well, you know, and they made a joke about it. Okoye made a joke about it. Like, why wasn't she out here at the beginning?
Yeah. Why isn't she always on the front lines?
Right.
Use your powerful characters in ways that are dynamic and interesting. Don't just take them off the board. The same, like, Hulk fans were kind of pissed.
Sure.
But you know what? You had a movie that was just full Hulk. And then you realize that Banner can be used as, like, comic relief. Banner can be used for other, like, instances. That, to me, makes sense because you've gotten so much Hulk. You get so little Scarlet Witch, and then to just, like, wipe her out. I don't give a fuck what the next movie is. It's probably Contest of Champions because I think it's Contest of Champions. But I don't want a movie that is that, like, these ragtag people who I don't give a flying fuck about trying to get all of these better characters out of Limbo, a.k.a. Soul World. Gem World. It's Gem World.
Gem World.
I mean, they got a lot of space in there.
No.
Is Synergy in Gem World?
It's Showtime, Synergy, and Amethyst.
Eric, what did you not like?
Well, a lot's been said, so...
We'll go the other direction next time. Good point, good point.
It was interesting. I think they could have... At the end, I think... I understood why at the end it was basically the original Avengers left, because I feel like the next movie is going to be passing of the guard from the original Avengers to the new Avengers.
The newer team.
And while I could appreciate the fact that your Scarlet Witch was taken out, Oral.
Always.
And I understand your reason.
She's always taken out. In every comic book event, think about it. What happens? In the event where she made
that
the
world...
That
bitch comes back and says no more mutants and fucks up my life for a while. I don't want to hear this bitch.
No!
But then after he wrapped up, then she ended up in a weird German town with a closet.
Let me give you the cliff notes and then I'll let Eric finish. Up, she disappeared. She made that world. That world was a better place. Who fucked it up? Wolverine. Wolverine fucked it up.
Well, Wolverine fucks everything up, so yeah. I mean...
Then she's back up. She's a Doombot. Then she's back up. It was Loki all along fucking with the Avengers.
Oh, that's
and
right.
Y'all should have known, because as soon as Hank Pym is in charge, shit was bound to go down. Secret Empire. When they really need somebody to combat reality warping abilities, she's been possessed by, like, Chthonic, is Cthulhu.
Yep.
Like, I'm fucking sick of it. I'm fucking sick of it. Spider-Man fans, this is what happens when you're put upon.
And I understand your grievances. However, as somebody who has not read all of these major comic events and doesn't have a lot of that to fall back on, I'm only looking at the MCU itself. And to me, it made sense that they're taking all the newer characters off the board so it can be a restart.
Except Okoye.
It was also a better gut punch, because... You have Scarlet Witch watching the Vision get destroyed when Thanos takes his stone, and then is basically like kind of over his lifeless body.
She's
and then dissolves.
And...
It's a double whammy. Yeah. I mean, I get it that you're upset because that's your character, but they only had room for one strong woman, and Scarlett Johansson has seniority.
Her dad job was terrible. Terrible.
You were not feeling her lace front fantasy?
Even Kelly Bundy had better roots than her.
Ouch.
You just snatched her edges.
She had none. They melted off.
Pat, what did you not like?
I didn't like the fact that Thanos had to close his hand every time he wanted to use the fucking
that
Infinity Stone.
That was a little bit weird. That's the rule. That's the rule they had to make.
I know.
He had
some kind of importance.
Pure omnipotence as soon as he had all six in the Infinity Gauntlet. But here, nope. You keep his hand open. Bitch ain't got nothing on you.
No, but to be fair, that fight was only four. It was only four at that point. So maybe the closed hand rule worked. It's movie plotting.
Movie plotting, yeah.
Yeah.
What else? Anything else?
Nope, I don't think anything else.
All right. One thing I will say, I'm a big fan of Jonathan Hickman. We've talked about this before on the show. The Black Order is one of the cooler, newer set of characters added in the last 5-10 years of cosmic stuff.
Because it actually gave Thanos a team.
Yeah.
He's never had a team.
And the way they represented them wasn't the worst, but okay, first Proxima Midnight, give her her fucking horns. She's supposed to look like goddamn Midna, and she does not in that movie.
Look, they were subdued. You bring them down.
I know. I just
sometimes
wish.
You bring them
down. I think there's a delightful Kirby-ishness to when they gave her like the New Gods looking Barda.
She looks like an Eternal. Yeah.
Well, right.
In the comic
another
book.
Kirby
in the
thing,
comic
right.
book, yeah.
They used their horn budget on Cate Blanchett's Hella.
That's true.
They
overspent on Hella.
Corvus Glaive looked great, though. That was really
good. I loved Ebony Maw.
Ebony Maw was great. Yeah. The Outriders were good, which I forgot about that was a thing, too. Like, there was a lot that they did really well, and I hope Hickman got royalties. That's all I'm going to say. The other thing that I don't know that I love, and this is nitpicky, but I'll, since Oral opened this door, There are certain holes in the story to me coming from the comics. The biggest is Adam Warlock, and I get why you don't pull him in here, because Guardians...
He's the big bad for the next phase.
Well...
So he's going right to...
It's the rise and fall.
He's going right to Magus?
No. It's literally the rise of Misguided, but then, like, let's fight for, like, the betterment of all. And then...
The Magus. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm cool with that. I guess it's just you don't do this story without him, to me, and it was awkward. But, I mean, I get it, and I'm at peace with it. But.
At year 20, Infinity Crusade.
Well, ooh. So that's actually... I'm glad you said that. So what... I want us to all go around, and we'll go the other way this time. I want our guesses at what the next title will be.
Ooh.
So I will start, and this is just, I have no basis in this. We don't know anything. Obviously, Infinity Crusade is one that I've considered, but I actually, it'd be really cool if they do, like, Secret War. And they don't have to get the Beyonders involved and do a bunch of crazy shit with Battle World or even the original Secret Wars. Like, you can just...
Leave the Beyonder with his 70s jumpsuit and bad hair out of it, please.
But, I mean, even Hickman's revision of the Beyonders, you could do something cool. But I just, from... Because they've done this Age of Ultron. They had Age of Ultron. It was in title only, really. Had right. nothing to do with the comic property.
Thank so, God.
Well, yeah. But from that perspective, I actually think they could do Secret War. And it somehow makes sense because they're trying to wage a war in secret to get back the Infinity Gauntlet and set things right. But that's my guess. I have no basis. Again, this is just me being crazy. Pat, what do you think?
I think since they said it would be a spoiler, it's going to be Avengers. Thanos snapped his fingers and killed half the universe, and now we got to try to get everybody back. And then this is the end of Phase 3. It's a little wordy, but I mean, it works.
It works. No, it's very succinct, I think, overall.
I don't know. Honestly, it for the fact that they said that it's going to be something that would kind of give away the motive or the motivation in Avengers 3. I mean, Disassembled is probably
that was going to be
something my that might be in there.
Ooh, I figured Disassembled.
That's oh, good. Now you want Disassembled. Now you want Disassembled.
Bitch, I've never read Disassembled. I just know what the title
is. Can good. Hawkeye die the same way in the movie?
No.
Like this! Boom.
They trot him out, and they kill him.
And he shoots a rocket up into a Kree ship and just cuss.
Eric?
Disassembled's good. You could even just call it New Avengers. I think...
Avengers right. 4, New Avengers.
That's a little
No. I'm not saying call it Avengers 4. I'm just saying call it New Avengers.
That's about all right. It's good. It's interesting. Oral.
Contest of Champions.
Of course. You did.
And
did
here's why.
Please tell us.
Nobody gives a fuck about Contest of Champions.
Right?
But Marvel has pushed it for years.
Yep.
For years they have.
I don't know why.
Like that game got super popular for a while. They brought it back in comic books.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Not once, but twice. And then this Avengers No Surrender, like most recent big event they did where they stopped all the Avengers books. That was actually like a contest of champions. That was interesting.
Yeah.
You have the elders of the universe. The Grandmaster is there. You need a challenger. And a challenger can be anybody.
Oh, the collector's dead.
You don't need the collector. Yeah. It could literally be, you know, Jeff Goldblum as the Grandmaster, who's a little more sadistic. Instead of just like funny campy because his collection is gone. His kingdom has been toppled. He snatched people with however he did it. And Soul World is the battleground. I Secret Wars would make sense, but what is Secret Wars but Contest of Champions with a new label slapped
it's,
on it?
Yeah, it's there's, the a, same there's a similar. Yeah, yeah. Let's take our toys and play with them together. Jeff, what do you think?
I was still thinking Disassembled.
I like that, actually. I hadn't thought about that, but that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
BJ?
I'm going to go right on the nose and more direct. I'm going to say Avengers Resurrection.
Avengers Resurrection?
Mm-hmm. Huh.
Screw it. It'll be Avengers Age of Apocalypse. Just cause.
Avengers Schism. The schism is half of them are dead.
But Disassembled or Reassembled.
Avengers Initiative. We got nobody, so we're bringing on
oh.
Wasp, Ant-Man, Stature.
It's just going to be West Coast Avengers.
I'd be in.
I loved West Coast Avengers.
They could bring back Living Lightning and finally debut Wonder Man.
Wonder Man.
U.S. Patriots here. U.S. agents here.
Could you imagine the balls on those producers thinking they could do that? I actually was originally thinking like Death of Captain America, because you know they're killing off somebody. Who?
Doka.
Oh, Doka.
Yeah. Death of Captain America. Doka.
I actually really was surprised they didn't just kill off Iron Man in this film.
I think everybody was expecting it, which is why they didn't. Well, that's why they didn't. Because everybody was expecting it.
But I just, like, you know, from a Hollywood, whatever perspective, that, like, what's his name?
Chris Evans
is done. Robert Downey could be done, probably is done.
Evans actually came forward and said he was supposed to be done on the third one, but he agreed to come back for the fourth one just because it made sense. He didn't see the reason why he just shouldn't come back.
Which is so funny, because I don't think they gave him much do in this movie.
But that's because, I mean, the directors, the Russo brothers, have already said the characters that got, you would think, shortchanged in the third one are going to have that much bigger parts in the fourth one.
Well,
like,
that makes sense.
Captain America, Black Widow.
Oh, that does, yeah.
Hawkeye, they've confirmed that Hawkeye's going to have a much bigger part.
And somebody,
in the
and I don't know if this is just somebody speculating, they said that he's going to be Ronan instead of Hawkeye.
Yeah, I mean, that might be based on set footage or photos from the set.
I can't wait for them to fridge his family.
Ooh, I mean, he's got four good targets. He's got three kids now.
That's right. He's got some chaff.
Oh, I'm sure some of them got disintegrated.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
that's going
to probably
bring him
out of the fight.
That's another one I want to ask, and we'll go back the other direction now. Did you guys do the, were you spared by
Everybody
Thanos?
Was spared. Everybody was spared.
I was killed. Thanks.
Was this a did Thanos kill.me?
Yeah.
Is the website.
Yeah, but there's no quiz. You just click the link and it tells you
whether or not you were killed. So I was spared, BJ.
I was spared.
Give a moment.
Oral, you were spared,
I
assume.
I was spared.
Okay.
Eric was spared.
I was killed.
Pat was disintegrated.
Puerto Ricans don't live in Thanos' perfect universe.
Did you see that meme with the infinity shoe?
Yes.
That was great.
I had a flashback. This is just a flashback.
I was spared.
Wow. Our statistics here are very surprising. That's
Well, fuck y'all. And I hope y'all have fun putting this podcast out by yourself.
I can't hear you. I just see a pile of ash. Give me a Peter Parker exit. I don't want a Samuel L. Jackson exit.
He went out like a bitch and it was my only consolation prize.
Oh.
Went out like a bitch.
He did go out like a bitch.
And like, here's the thing. No. Everyone's like, it's his spider sense. You could tell something. No, Spider-Man fans are bitches.
Oh.
And Spider-Man went out like a fucking goddamn bitch.
Wow. We were talking to Danny Haas yesterday at Epic. We did our little pre-comic book day crawl. I'm sorry. I know you're still traumatized here. But I hadn't even thought about the David Tennant comparison because of the whole...
That was the first thing I thought of.
I immediately thought.
Oh, yeah, that was the first thing. I'm not ready yet. I don't want to go.
And I should know this, but whatever. Anyway, so I was like, oh my God, that's true. All right, so let's... Last thoughts on this movie. Anything we left out? Anything you want to mention? One thing I will say, I really enjoyed the Kirby touches, and one of them that I noticed in the second viewing was the forge for the hammer, and when the sunlight or the starlight or whatever went through, and then like went through the pipes, and you kind of got these cool Kirby. It wasn't as heavy as like Ragnarok, but there was like a nice little nod to like Kirby's sort of crazy machines. And of course, all of the nods to anything that's come from the Guardians and the Cosmic Pantheon. Nowhere being revisited.
One thing that I was irritated by, along with the things they didn't show, like with Xandar. I was annoyed that it felt like they were trying to wrap up as much as they could of previously shown content. Like, Nowhere was just up in flames.
Well, okay.
Like, do you have to wrap up everything?
Yeah, I mean, it could be that way, or they could come back and they've remodeled.
You know? I don't know. I kind of had that general rule of, like, Gamora aside, everybody that died before he got the Soul Stone, pretty much going to be staying dead.
Well, like who? Like all the
Loki.
They killed the Black God first.
Idris Elba already put up on his Twitter saying, I'm going to miss playing Heimdall.
But here's the thing about Asgardians. They come back every so often. Like, that's a thing.
They killed the Black God first.
Oh.
There were other people dead on that ship.
They were already dead.
Actually, they stabbed and killed somebody else right before it.
You never saw their face, and if you did, they weren't important.
That's probably
true. I'll say they were important, but they went through and stabbed somebody.
Like, even the gods have peasants.
That's true.
I am sad if they really did kill Loki, but I can see them, like, again, doing it. If they wanted more Thor, they could bring more Thor.
Lady Loki.
Yeah, they can recast the part.
Yeah, no. They should not recast it. He should do it in drag.
Interesting.
I think that'd be fun.
They should bring it back as a horse. It'll be fun.
Okay, so that's all I have. BJ?
Yeah, I know. You're good? I think I'm good.
All right, Jeff.
I'm going to hold out hope that that Fox deal clears before they finish the post-production on Infinity or Avengers 4.
Yep.
And somehow they work in some kind of nod to Galactus and Silver Surfer by the fourth film.
Honestly,
Even if they just throw him in the CG background area, just to be like...
As a cloud?
He better not be a goddamn
Fuck
cloud.
Fuck that cloud.
Or as a swarm of insects.
Or a shadow.
Galactus has the horns, too. Are they going to dial those back, too?
Yes, make them more tasteful horns.
Fucking bitches. Anyway, Oral.
Fuck this movie. They took everything from me. And I'm not watching it again until I have the conclusion.
Right.
And I swear to fucking Christ, if I have to wait to the end of Avengers 4, or whatever number we're on.
4, you're right.
For my girl to come back. I will raise hell. Raise hell.
I didn't even think about that angle. I'm so glad.
Also, Okoye's side eye, her side eye,
yeah,
is graduate level side eye. And I want you to know, I cackle.
Who did she give side eye to?
To
Banner.
Banner. Okay. Why this little white boy in this armor? He can't drive it.
That was fantastic.
That was great.
I every day I wake up hoping that Bass gives me the strength
to give that level
shade heifers left and right at a infinitesimal fraction of a coin.
Oh, shout out to Shuri Shade also. Shuri Shade was pretty wonderful.
Oh, the whole thing, like, why didn't you think of that?
He's like, because we didn't. She's like, well, I guess you tried your best.
Snap. Eric?
It was the greatest season finale of a TV show ever.
Oh, glad you said that.
I've actually heard
that Game of Thrones finale was fantastic. Yeah.
I've heard lots of comparisons to the MCU up to this point as a TV season.
Yeah, sure.
And it makes sense and just works.
Pat?
I can't wait for Captain Marvel to be a part of this.
Oh, thank you.
Yes.
And
although everybody in the theater is like, what's that mean?
Except for me when I rolled up in there in a Captain Marvel t-shirt without realizing
it. You did. It was very appropriate, and it was very awesome. And then the Samuel Jackson, and he just, I love it.
Cosmic Pager.
You're right. That makes so much
sense.
That's
a good band name.
I don't give a.
I did want to throw a S.H.I.E.L.D. reference in here. As is tradition, S.H.I.E.L.D. has found a way to claw itself into this whole, what's happening in the movie.
Did they?
They did.
Yep.
It's a little out of time because they're sort of reacting to Thanos coming, and I think actually Thanos arriving, but not actually getting people snapped away.
It's pre-snap. It's basically the fact that Thanos has arrived, but then at the same point, just to touch back on the post-credits scene, that timing is weird because Maria Hill's really reading about bogeys over Wakanda, and then they start disappearing. I'm like, that's a really short amount of time for that information to happen.
I feel like she was watching like Fox News, and then they finally decided it was important for them to share because it didn't contradict Trump or something. And then
they carry around old technology. He got a pager in his pocket, so
cosmic pager.
Cosmic pager.
Well, they knew each other in the 90s. The technology hadn't gotten that advanced yet. So, question: when they bring Vision back, do you think he's going to be white Vision?
I hope so.
Yes.
I would prefer monochrome Vision. He can be whatever color he likes, but he should be monochrome.
You're learning, Brian.
I'm trying. I'm so.
You got to give him a cookie, or the behavior won't take.
That's true, actually.
Will they reset Groot?
No, because did you hear the thing? Groot is Groot's son of Groot. He's not Groot.
What I mean is, if you are reading Infinity Countdown, so much of Infinity War has been in this book. So if you've been paying attention, you knew some things that were going to happen. And one of the things that happens is they reset Groot.
Okay.
Groot talks now.
Oh.
Hello.
Groot has gone back to original Groot. In the fact that he doesn't just say, I am Groot. He's like, I am here to fight now. Wah! And he's fucking hysterical.
Is he Swamp Thing now?
He's kind of.
Oh, all right. That's cool. I'm good with that. Okay with that.
This last issue was probably the best thing I've read.
Yeah.
It literally just he is, I take no shit and I'm here to fuck you up.
I like that. I'm all about that. It was good. I love good, some good crew. Last thing, flame ratings. We've got to give you our one, what is it, 1 out of 5?
Yes.
All right. I'll start. I give it a 4 out of 5. BJ.
4.7 out of 5.
God damn it. Jeff.
I give it 6 Infinity Stones.
That I don't know how to do the math on that. Can you enroll me in that graduate course?
Yeah, sure. It's advanced level. It's a 3,000 level course.
Is that Starlin level?
All yes.
Right. Oral.
Negative 666.
Nice. Well played. 616.
No, not even there.
Damn it.
You never get nothing.
Eric.
I'll give it a 4 out of 5 flames.
All right.
Pat. 4.75 for me.
Wow, so that averages to, fuck, I don't know, I haven't taken the course yet.
We don't do averages, we just give our own.
New math. Right.
We liked it.
What was wrong with math? Math is math.
So, if you like what you've been hearing, you want to share your feelings about Infinity War with us, we are all over the social medias. You can go to flameonshow.com, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, I don't know, Instagram, Tumblr?
Just go to flameonshow.com, it's all there.
Facebook's the big one, we all pay attention. Twitter, I'm trying a little bit.
Well, our Facebook posts to Twitter and vice versa, so...
You reset your password, right? All the Twitter passwords got put up in clear text, so you should probably reset that.
Yeah, all right. We are approaching...
Don't look at the history.
We are approaching our 200th episode. I don't know if you realize this. So, very, very soon. What is this,
199? Approaching. We are stumbling into it. This is 199.
So, you have a very narrow window of opportunity. If there is anything you want to ask us... To tell us, to share with us.
All the dirty secrets.
We have a fan here that says, send Newt. No, I'm just kidding. But whatever you want.
If they're tasteful.
Preferably.
Bicentennial.
We do want to hear.
That's what it's going to end up being called, because the 100th episode was centennial. Mm-hmm.
We do want to hear from our listeners. It's something we talk about occasionally when like some random person goes, well, I listen to Flame On. And we're like, you do? Because honest to God, we just don't hear a lot from our listeners.
There are times where I am at work and they're like, excuse me, are you Oral? I'm like, I am. Yes. They're like, we listen. I'm like, oh my God, they found me. Oh my God, they found me. To play my, oh, thank you.
Well, I feel like one of those aliens from Doctor Who where you just forget that they're there. And every time, like 6 people I have sent this podcast to and have listened to an episode... I'll be talking about it, and they're like, what podcast are you talking about? We just had this conversation.
We're the Bernstein Bears of the podcast world.
Oh. The Berenstein Bears?
Berenstein
Bears? The Berenstein?
We're the Kazam?
Yes, we're the Kazam.
Shazam.
If you want to help us, send us something. Email is great. Post comment. We have got one email already, so we'll read that on our 200th. But you can also rate and review us on iTunes and any of your favorite social media or podcast platforms, because that actually does give us a lot of visibility. And the Patreon, I was thinking like a Kirby character. If you like what we do, patreon.com/nerdyshow. We are part of the Nerdy Show Network, which you know. And all the money that you earmark towards us on there, we get a little cut. And it is always appreciated. We provide nice beer and equipment and occasional...
Mainly the equipment.
Listen,
listeners,
what?
We keep this together. This is free. And when you donate to the Patreon, it helps us with our production costs. Don't tell them that they're just buying us booze, Brian. Dude, Jesus Christ.
Ron,
this is why you can't rob a bank with me.
Ron literally bought us booze. When he came here to visit.
I've been rationing like it's Dune now.
Oh, that's right. You're using your still suit to recycle? Oh. Anyway, so 200th episode's coming up. Stay tuned. That'll be a full cast extravaganza with all kinds of special guests, people you haven't heard from in a while, we think. We hope. we're hoping. We're keeping our fingers crossed.
Listeners, did you hear that eye roll?
It's happening. We're working on it. Anyway.
It was almost Sequoia level eye roll there.
I mean, I work down the street from one of them. I can just drag him out of his new building.
Yeah?
Maybe. We'll
see. All right. Well, and that's it. That's all we got. See you in a couple weeks. Thanks for listening.
I don't want to go.